So that's Psalm 107, beginning at verse 1. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts into the bars of iron. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. Some went down into the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven, and they went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants. He turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water, and there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. By his blessing they multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. But he raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth. Whoever is wise, let them attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord.
Thanks, Florence. Hello, I'm Kev. I'm the senior minister at Euston Church. Good to see you. I'll say a word to you leavers later on in the sermon, but maybe you're actually new among us or visiting this Sunday. Really great that you've been able to join us. You know that thing when a song triggers a memory and it takes you back? So if I start singing, "You lived your life like a candle in the wind," we're back at Princess Diana's funeral if you're old enough to remember it. Sweet Caroline, we're at Wembley. Sweet Caroline. It's an American song, actually. It's an American rock song from the 1960s. Why did it become the England anthem? I don't know. Anyway, A Whole New World. Aladdin vibes. I'll stop doing this now. You'll be glad to know. You know, couples sometimes have a song that reminds them how they got together, and then the first dance at their wedding is their song. Lovely for the couple, horribly and awkward for the rest of us. At our wedding, our first dance was to a song from Shrek. It wasn't very romantic at all. Anyway, you know what I'm on about. A song takes you back to a holiday or a group of friends or maybe a season of your life. Music and moments, they merge in our memories. Well, the Psalms are the songbook of the Bible. They're slap in the middle, and they trigger memories, thoughts, feelings about God, about our relationship with Him. I always say to our staff team at the start of the church year, please have a relationship with the Lord this year. And some of them look at me like, of course we're going to have a relationship with the Lord. I mean, please have a relationship with Him before you're a person who does stuff for Him, with Him. That's the essence of who we are. And I find just so many of the battles of the Christian life come back to very basic stuff. Am I walking with Him, talking to Him? How's that going for you right now? Easy to let the relationship side slip? We can harden our hearts. Well, the Psalms, they've been a devotional lifesaver for me again and again, as I guess they've been for many of you, because they keep it real about the highs and lows. They give me words to say and sing to the Lord when I don't have any energy or words of my own. And they trigger memories about Him. The Psalms point us Godward. So a summer series in the Psalms. Psalm 107, you can see, is an appropriate place to dive in because it's part of a new book. It says book 5 of the 5 books of the 150 Psalms. Starts here. And verse 1 is our song with God. Is that too cheesy to think that you would have a song with the Lord, that you would play with Him as your first dance? Here's our song, Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Not the only place that significant lyric comes up. Sounds like a lovely platitude, His love endures forever. That psalm went on forever. Let's hope Kev doesn't speak about it forever. It's not a fuzzy platitude. It's a line with real teeth. His steadfast love, His marital love. God does want that first dance with you. God wants to marry you. Maybe you found it weird, the thought of us as the bride. Well, it's not about you in a big fluffy dress walking up the aisle. It's about the level of His commitment. We were at a wedding yesterday. Such a serious moment when the couple turn to each other and say, I will. God says to us, I will, and this is His solemn vow. At the heart of the universe is a God who is unwavering in His covenant loyalty to us, His people. It's a line with real teeth, verse 1, partly because our default playlist naturally is, oh, give grumbles to the Lord, because He's not so good, and His love, well, I'm not sure He likes me at all. Psalm just before this one, 106, the people of God were all of that negativity and more. Again and again, they forgot, they made a calf, they murmured, they grumbled again and again and again. What a bunch of dumbasses. And yet I can be so like them. All it needs for me is we run out of milk or the train's late and I'm saying, God's against me. Some among us have properly painful things in the pit that you're living through. Sorry about that. Long-term scars. Life and the news, they're like the stock market, aren't they? And the highs and lows. Is He on our side? Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for for his steadfast love endures forever. Forever is an important word because we're obviously not home with the Lord yet. Journey full of ups and downs. The battle for the people of God in every generation is give thanks to the Lord. We are actually wired to give thanks. Read the memes, listen to the Oscar winners' speeches as they thank the universe. The wellness gurus know that gratitude helps you live longer, sleep better, reduces toxic emotions like envy and self-pity. Tragic to feel appreciative, but not know who to send the thank you note to. One of the great blessings of the Christian life, we know who to thank. Thankfulness is the secret to keeping going on the journey, and remembering our story will keep us fueled up with thanks. This psalm reminds us of our story to get us thanking. So, our story. I say our story. Why should we think this is about us at all? On one level, it's quite specific and historical. At the end of the previous psalm, God's people were in exile, scattered from their land. Look up at 106, verse 47. Save us, O Lord, our God, and gather us from the nations. Now, Psalm 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands. So the prayer has been answered. And it seems to be a psalm that would have particularly resonated with the generation who returned from exile. More on that background on Tuesday and how that helps us read the whole of Book 5. But we can dive in and make this our own for a few reasons. First, that gathering from the four corners is the language of the prophets for the salvation of not only Israel, but the nations. Verse 8, the children of man giving thanks. Four times it says that. Literally, the children of Adam. A call not just for Israel, but for all humanity. For whoever, verse 43, this is the story of whoever has come to him for deliverance. Four cycles of metaphors that summarize our story. They're fuel for thanks and warning. If we're particularly logical flow people, the mixing of these metaphors may mess with our heads. But they're big Bible ones. We can easily connect with them, so permission to make them our own. Four metaphors, four cycles, one repeated pattern. First, verse 4. Some wandered in the desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. Wandering like refugees in the desert, Exodus-ish, nowhere to live, hungry, fainting, crying. That's exile time too. Then they cried, literally, they screamed, Yahweh, verse 6, he delivered them from their distress. Verse 7, he led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. It's a metaphor. God gets his people home is the point. We are not home yet. But do you have a story of a God who has led you out of lostness, put you on a path to a city, given you good things along the way, fed your soul? If that's your story, then verse 8, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. That's why we're remembering our story here. So we give thanks. Verse 10, second time around the cycle. By the way, that word some is not in the original. The start of each section just says, and they. So they wandered, verse 4, and then they sat in darkness, verse 10. Not four separate stories of four separate groups. Four ways of describing one shared heritage. So verse 10, they sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they'd rebelled against the words of the Lord. Shadow of death, prisoners to sin and death. our own fault. We rebelled against God. The shadow of death, it's a phrase that I think is such a hauntingly good way of describing how the enemy looms. You know, you can never escape the shadow of death. You know, have you had a good day? Great. One day you'll be dead. That wouldn't be a very good day. It's always there in the background. And when you personally walk into that valley at the end of your life, all other comforters and technologies will leave you on the path. Verse 13, Yahweh. Amazing thing is that even though it was our fault and it was his judgment, he delivered us. My chains fell off. Slave master death doesn't define my story anymore. So verse 15, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. You begin to feel the pattern. Our kids like a singer called Forrest Frank. You heard of him? You may not have heard of him if you're not as down with the kids as me. I was down, but now I'm up. I used to be stuck in the mud. I was down, but now I'm up, 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 up. Something like that, basically. Well, that's our story if we're in Jesus. Down, then up. Verse 17 is another way of describing it. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. It seems not so much God's curse specifically this time, just the way we were idiots, and it leads our lives to spiral down. Can you think of ways you've been a fool? Bad choices, negative consequences, painful to think about. Yahweh, verse 19. They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them, delivered them from their destruction, delivered us from destroying ourselves, healing from destructive habits and addictions and decisions. Not perfectly in a broken world, but a path to healing instead of hell. Can you cope with one more of these metaphors? Verse 23, suddenly we're on the ocean waves. There's an old seafarer's saying that says, if you want to learn to pray, go to sea, because it's a beast, the sea. My father-in-law took me and the kids just on a fishing boat in a nice place on a nice day last summer. But it was rocking so much, we were all feeling sick as anything. All my concentration not to be sick in front of the father-in-law. He thinks I'm pathetic already. Would have been the last straw. But picture a proper storm. The wind, verse 25. The fear, verse 26. Verse 27, staggering like drunken men at their wits' end. You'll never guess who they cried to. And you'll never guess how he responded. Deliverance. A haven. We're not at our haven yet, but no need to be afraid anymore. Safely on course for our haven of heaven. So verse 31. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Now, it's kind of overwhelming, isn't it? Metaphor. Overdose. I mean, imagine being a wandering refugee who finds yourself under a death sentence, deserved, then engages in destructive behavioral patterns and gets into grave peril on the sea. I mean, that is your spiritual backstory. It's intense. It's terrible. It's a sin, death, judgment spiral. Yahweh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Forever is an important word. Forever means whatever era you live in, Exodus, exile, the church, and however it's going. The last few verses of our psalm make that point, because the cycle doesn't repeat. I was down, but now I'm up. Not quite. Verse 33, notice the direction of travel. Rivers into desert. Fruitful land, down into a salty waste. I was up, then I was down. But we're back up, verse 35. Then back low, down again, verse 39. Life is a roller coaster is the theme tune for this section. So finally we're up again, verse 41. And it's a good end, verse 42, as wickedness has nothing left to say. Huge heritage of rescue we're part of. And yet on the ground, in the detail, for returning exiles as for us, always sin, disappointments, brokenness that spoils for life. Yahweh, we're not home yet. But the Lord is good. He has a good end written for us because his steadfast faithfulness remains. Well, what do we say as we finish? First, if you want a couple of things to drill into, thank. Obviously, it's the repeated call here, verse 1, verse 8, verse 15, verse 21. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love. How's the thankfulness going? So easy to forget, like the Israelites did within 5 seconds. May I never move on from this humble sense of, well, I'm down here and I daily need to cry out for help and undeserved deliverance from the Lord. It is the secret to life, thankfulness. You guys, Finsbury Park, guys heading off for the church plant there, loads of love and prayers from all of us. I think it might be the secret to church planting, thankfulness. Because if you're thankful, you'll have a story to tell your community of a good God. And if you're thankful, you'll keep going in all of the highs and lows, which for sure there will be. It's the secret to keep going for all of you leavers. We'll miss you so much. Please don't stop thanking the Lord. Actual singing helps here, verse 22. Tell of his deeds in songs of joy. It's one of the things that when you're used to church, you forget. It's a bit weird for new people. You know, every now and then we suddenly jump up and burst into song. People don't normally do that in public meetings. And yet it's wired into us. Music triggers memories. So thanks so much to Carson and all of you who serve so hard in this important ministry. Singing helps and each other help. Verse 32, did you notice that? We're extolling him in the congregation, praising in the assembly of the elders. Please help me feel thankful when I'm not feeling thankful. Lead me in thankfulness. Seems the elders are meant to take the lead. Am I a leader like that? In your friendship group or your family? What about Thankfulness Thursday? Bit cheesy, isn't it? But they both begin with the. Whatever, find your own way. Find ways of cultivating and taking the lead in an attitude of gratitude. It's a discipline, Christian thankfulness. Let's be honest, it needs to be cultivated. And you know the supposed superheroes among us who amazingly keep giving thanks on really dark days? They're not actually a special breed of believer. They're people who cultivated thankfulness on the ordinary days. And that's where verse 43 is so helpful as we land. Don't just thank. Think. Verse 43. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let him consider in his brain, her brain, the steadfast love of the Lord. Some of these psalms are tambourines and touchy-feelyness all the way through. This one, the narrator steps out of the song at the end and says to us individually, think about it. This is not whipping something up. Sit down and think about the steadfast love of the Lord. Live in those metaphors this week. How about one per day? Imagine you were still in the downs, not the ups. Think about it. We don't have to cultivate thought about our anxieties and afflictions, do we? They're always there. Think about your particular story of his steadfast love. Tell it. write it down. My granny did that just before she died. It was brilliant that I was able to read that, of how she became a Christian, ways the Lord had kept her going, how she'd often failed him, but he had never failed her, for Jesus never fails, she wrote. And now her story's part of my story, because she told my dad the gospel and he told me. What's your story? Think about it. Think about him. Guys, this is grown-up Christianity. You know, this is what it's all about. All these Bible studies and singing and speaking the truth in love. The point is that we keep going on the journey through all the highs and lows, and that even through the tears, we might be able to keep singing our song. It is our song. We'll give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Amen.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for you are good. Thank you, Lord, for your slowness to anger, for your patience, for your forgiveness. Thank you for being unchanging in your goodness to us, despite your people failing you, disobeying you, betraying you, time and time again. Thank you for being so willing to hear your people's cries and to listen to our prayers, even when we've completely messed up. And thank you for rescuing us from the power of sin and death. Thank you for Jesus and how he has shown pity on us and how he has shown love to us, even when we hated him and even though we are so unworthy and undeserving. Heavenly Father, sorry that we're so quick to forget these things, so quick to be blinded by our current situations or distracted by the world around us. Help us to be quicker to remember your goodness and how you've consistently shown it to your people throughout history. And Lord, please help us to be wise, to attend to these things, to consider your steadfast love and live lives of thankfulness to you. Heavenly Father, we now pray for our mission partners, Jonathan, Jess, baby Eloise, and for their new addition to the family due in July. We thank you that the pregnancy is going well so far, and we pray for a safe delivery, for strength, and for continued grace to bring up their children to know you and to trust you as their personal Lord and Savior. Thank you for the restful period you provided for them in May. Thank you that they are feeling more refreshed as they finish out the final term and prepare to welcome a new baby. We thank you for the opportunities you provided Jonathan and Jess to share Jesus among French-speaking Belgium. Thank you that they are still very excited and joyful doing the work that you've given them. And we pray that they'll have even more excitement as they continue and as they think about your promises, and they will grow in their love for Jesus as they spend time in your word this semester. Lastly, we turn to pray for our Christian brothers and sisters suffering persecution for their faith in northern Nigeria. We pray for the families of the hundreds who've been killed by Islamic militants and for the several thousand that have been forcibly displaced by the violence and conflict. Lord, please keep them persevering in such a hostile environment. And in the midst of such terrible loss and pain and sorrow, keep them trusting you. But even at the risk of their lives, please help them to believe that it is worth it to keep loving, keep believing, and keep trusting Jesus, knowing that you are good. And Father, please comfort them in their suffering. Please would they know that you love and care for them, that you hear their cries, and that you are above every other power. Please would they know that you will come to judge, that you will win, and you will make everything right in the end. Please, Lord, help them not to lose focus of the fact that you've broken the power that death holds over them, and that in Jesus they have eternal life. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.